Okay, so today we're gonna dive into this really cool project from Houston.
Yeah.
It's called the Banner Project.
Hmm.
And basically, it's this visual chronicle
Ah.
of the city's LGBT history and how it all like got started is really interesting.
Yeah, how to get going.
So the woman behind it, Sarah Fernandez,
Okay.
she was actually inspired by some museum exhibits she saw in New York.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they focused on social activists and movements and stuff.
Right.
And then when the Creating Change Conference was in Houston back in 2014,
Oh, wow.
that kind of provided the perfect opportunity and like a spark to do something similar in Houston.
Huh. So, like a national event kind of spurred this very local project. That's pretty neat.
Totally, yeah. She saw that there was this story that needed to be told, and she wanted to tell it visually, you know?
Yeah, make it immediate.
Exactly. And so the project, like physically, it started with these vinyl banners.
Okay.
And they're pretty big, like 30 by 65 inches.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, so they have this like instant visual impact when you see them.
I bet.
And each one is like a snapshot of a moment in Houston's LGBT history.
That's cool. So, like, how many are we talking?
Well, it started with 27,
Okay.
and by October 2022, it had grown to 50.
Wow.
And that's not even counting like the intro banners and acknowledgement banners and stuff.
Oh, wow. So it's a pretty extensive project.
Yeah, and the fact that they're vinyl makes them super portable, you know.
Right, durable.
Exactly. So they can take them all over for these like pop-up museums.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. It's a really cool way to bring this history to different parts of the community.
Totally. And I heard the Montrose Center even has a permanent display of a smaller version.
They do, yeah. Which just shows how significant this project is for the local community.
Makes sense. Yeah, like really embedding it in the city.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to give you an idea of like the historical scope,
Okay.
you know, we should look at some examples from the project's index.
Sure.
It's called Who We Are.
Catchy.
Yeah, so you have entries going all the way back to the early 20th century.
Oh, wow.
Like one that just says 1930s. Art scene left bank on the bayou.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's hinting at this early, you know, maybe less visible LGBTQ presence.
Right.
And then you have specific entries like 1934, Royal Dixon and Chester Snowden,
Okay.
or the founding of 1954, the Diana Foundation.
And who were they?
They were one of Houston's early LGBT social
Oh,
organizations.
cool. So this project, it's really going back, showing that LGBT history didn't just start recently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it adds this whole other layer to our understanding of the city's history in general.
I like that. Yeah, like expanding what we think of as history.
Totally. And then the timeline moves into like periods of more activism.
Okay.
So you have things like 1967, the Tumblebugs form to fight cross-dressing ordinance.
What were those ordinances all about?
Yeah, so basically they were targeting gender expression like as a form of social control.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, and then we see the eventual 1972 final defeat of the cross-dressing ordinance.
So they won.
They did, yeah, after a lot of organizing.
That's so important to highlight, you know, that transition from early social groups to actual resistance movements.
Right, and it wasn't just about individual experiences, it was about people coming together to challenge these discriminatory laws.
Totally. And the project highlights specific people too, right?
It does, yeah, like 1973, Pokey Anderson, and 1974, Henry McClurg, publisher.
Oh, yeah, I've heard those names before.
Yeah, and adding those names, you know, makes the story more personal.
It does. Yeah, you see the individual lives within the larger narrative.
And we also see the growth of all this like crucial community infrastructure.
Okay, like what?
Well, there's 1975, Gay and Lesbian Radio.
Wow, early radio.
Yeah. And then the same year, 1975, Houston Gay Political Caucus.
Interesting.
And then in 78, the Lambda Center was established.
Right, so you see both the individuals and the organizations.
Yeah, it captures how community building happens on all these different levels.
Absolutely.
And of course, the timeline also addresses some of the really hard stuff.
Right.
Like 1982, AIDS arrives.
Yeah.
That was such a pivotal and difficult time for everyone.
Absolutely.
And then there's the political backlash in 85.
All right.
1985, voters overturn gay rights ordinance, the straight slate.
Wow, so a setback.
Yeah, but then you see how the community responds.
Okay.
1986, Omega House is founded.
And what was that?
It was one of the first AIDS hospices in the country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it really shows that spirit of, you know,
Yeah.
mutual support, even in a crisis.
Yeah, those moments of adversity really highlight the community's strength.
Totally. And, you know, fast forward a bit,
Okay.
we see some really significant progress.
Like what?
Well, there's 2003, Lawrence v. Texas overturns sodomy laws.
Big one.
Yeah, huge. And then 2009, Andes Parker, elected mayor.
Right, the first openly gay mayor of a major U.S. city.
Exactly. And then 2010, Phyllis Fry's first out transgender judge nation.
Wow, so many milestones.
Yeah, and it's important to remember this is an ongoing project.
Oh, so it's not done.
Not at all. There's an entry for 2017.
Yeah.
Emmett Schelling, #50.
Huh, who's that?
He was a gay University of Wyoming student who was murdered.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it was a really high-profile hate crime.
So they're constantly adding new banners.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
Which shows that this history isn't just something stuck in the past. It's still happening.
That's so important to acknowledge, you know, that history is always being made.
Right. And it's clear this project is resonating with people.
In what ways?
Well, Sarah Fernandez and J.D. Doyle.
Who's that?
He's like a Houston LGBT historian.
Okay.
So they gave a talk about 13 of the banners to a class at the University of Houston in 2021.
Oh, wow. So they're using it for education.
Exactly. And there's a whole section on the website about media coverage.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And photos from events at various venues.
So it's really getting out there.
It is, yeah. And that's so crucial, you know, bringing these visual histories into classrooms and public spaces.
Right. It goes beyond just preserving history. It's about actively sharing it.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, the Banner Project offers this really accessible and visually powerful way to connect with this history through all these, you know, thoughtfully curated snapshots.
And it makes you think about your own community, you know?
It does, yeah. What stories are out there waiting to be documented?
What could we bring to light in this kind of creative and public way?
Exactly. And, you know, thinking about that,
yeah,
it makes you realize how making history visible like this can really help us understand the present.
And maybe even influence how we think about the future.
Exactly.
That's powerful stuff.
It is.
Yeah. Really cool project. Right. Glad we got to talk about it.
Me too. Thanks for joining me.
Of course. Anytime.
See ya.